Okay, we're at Shmuel Aleph. We are on Perek Yud. Let's start from Pasuk Yud Beis. This is actually the fourth week learning this Perek. Pasuk Yud Beis on page 62. Vayomer Ish El Rehu. So we saw this last week, this Pasuk. So the people were saying to each other, Maze Hoyel Levin Kish Hagam Shol Benavim. How is this possible? This guy doesn't even call him by the name of Shaul. He's called Ben Kish. But he's also among the Nevi'im. Very surprising that he actually said over Nevu'ah. After all, no one ever heard Shaul say over any Nevu'ah before. And this, of course, is the only time that he was allowed to be a Navi. We learned last week that unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, no Navi is allowed to be a Melech. He can't be both at the same time. As a Melech, he always has to be alert at every moment. Now to be intoxicated. A Navi is not focused at the time of receiving the Nevuah. So anyway, so he received this Nevuah, and it was quite surprising. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayan, okay, so Vayan Ish Mishom Yomer Umi Avihem, this is Pasuk Yud Beis, rather. So a person spoke up and said, who is his father? Al-Kain Hoysel Amashol Hagam Shol Menevim. Because of this strange occurrence, comes the mushal that people say nowadays as well, Hagam Shol Menevim, which is an expression of surprise and shock that even you could accomplish such a thing. So that's something which was unusual to people. We also saw Rashi that said, Pasuk Yud Beis, Umi Avihim Mat Temel Chal Badaber. What is this such a big deal? Mi Avihim Shol Nevim, who is, after all, father to Nevim, V'chi Nevuah Yerushahi, just because your father is in Navi doesn't necessarily mean you a Navi. And on the opposite, just because Ben Kish is not a Navi, so what? Maybe Shaul could become a Navi. One does not, it's not a Yerusha. So anyway, it was something which Shaul did receive, this Nebuah, at a one-time shot. Plus, if you Gimel tells us...
What was last week? What was the Nebuah?
It doesn't say. There was no indication of what this Nebuah was. But last week we learned that when there were these people that were playing musical instruments who also happened to be Nevi'im, when he gathered up together with them, it says that he also... Yeah, he also had a Nevu'ah with him. But it doesn't really say what exactly that Nevu'ah was. Apparently it doesn't really matter what the Nevu'ah was, it was just the fact that he said he had a Nevu'ah, which is a clear indication to him, personally, that there's something unique happening to him, that now he's fit to be the Melech. But is it? I'm wondering what exactly the Nebuah is myself, but I didn't see it here anywhere. So the next Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Yud Gimel, so V'yichal mihis nabos v'yavo habom. So Shaul finished his receiving this Nebuah, v'yavo habom, and he went to this high place in order to daven and to be able to apparently bring karbonos. So what's the Chiddush of this pasuk? So what's the difference? So of course, you don't have a nevuah forever. So at one point, vayichal mihis nabos. So what does this come to teach us? So the Radak tells us over here, which is not underlined, but the Radak says, v'yavo habama, ki hanavim matzuhu chutz labama, ukeshikala mihis nabos imehem bolo beis habama. So this is the typical way that nevim, that perhaps they receive a Nevuah outside of the Bama, where they can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So once they receive this Nevuah, they immediately will go to this Bama to bring Karbanos and to be able to daven and to elevate themselves. After all, they brought this, they just received this elevated prophecy. If you look in the English over here on page 63, we see the Malbim says completely different, the bottom left, which is not underlined. It says that the Pasuk contrasts Shaul with a group of Nevi'im and Pasuk Hei, they prophesied in the conventional way by first ascending the high place where they prayed and may have brought offerings to bring themselves to a spiritual height. When it came to Shaul, Hashem reversed the process. He first, he was uplifted to the level of prophecy, then he went to the high place where he prayed and solidified his spiritual gift. So you can't just get a Nevuah. You have to prepare yourself mentally and emotionally, spiritually for it. And then you're shy to this. So why then didn't Shaul do the order of the Nevi'im? Because he wasn't a Navi, he wasn't anticipating it. And this is just another chiddush to the whole world, that obviously there's something special about Shaul, the fact that the roles were reversed, that this Nebuah came to him completely unprepared, even though he didn't really put any energy or effort into it, he just received this prophecy. So people realize this is not a Pashta guy, this is something unique. Which is also the Pshat and Pesukim that we just saw, that people were so surprised that he received the Nebuah. So it wasn't just for Shaul to receive the Nebuah to realize it was something special, but for everyone else to say, this is something strange going over here. How was it Shaykh that he received the Nebuah? It must be that he, in fact, is fit for Malbim. So that's the way that spin that Malbim has. The Malbim has this idea, unlike the Radak, that he did something which was against the nature of most Nebuah. Okay, so he finishes Nebuah. Vayomer Dod Shaul. A love. So it's interesting, Mesudasian over here. Mesudasian translates this as Achi Aviv, his father's brother. So it was Kish's brother, Dod, he's an uncle, right? So what's the Chiddush of Mesudasian? So I can only think of two Pshatim. Either maybe you would maybe think it's his mother's brother, right? So it's still his uncle. Or without Nekudos, what mistake?
David.
You would maybe think it's David. And it's like, what? David? Where's David? What's David doing over here? We don't even, not introduced to him at all yet. So, Vayomer Dod Shaul, right, I think that's probably the more logical shot in the Sudasim. Vayomer Dod Shaul Elov. So, Shaul's uncle spoke to him, the El Na'aro, and also to this lad that was with him, the attendant. And he asked him a question, on Halachtem, like, where were you going? What was your purpose? What were you doing over here? Vayomer, and Shaul says, L'vakesh yesu asanos. Our purpose was to look for donkeys. V'nire ki'ayin, we saw that we couldn't find these donkeys anywhere we looked. We were unsuccessful in finding them. And v'navol Shmuel, we decided at the last minute, since we were in the community where Shmuel was, it would be silly just to turn back. We had an opportunity to see a Navi. And the purpose of seeing Shmuel, in fact, was in order to be able to ask him where the donkeys were. That was our purpose of seeing Shmuel, because otherwise we felt we'd have no idea where they are. So it's brought down in the Mishpat of Zahav. The Kasha's asked that what exactly is he asked? What is this question over here? Because obviously Shaul was sent to find these donkeys. In fact, in the very beginning, a little bit back, we saw that Shaul ben Kish, his father Kish, said, I lost the donkeys, go and find them. So what do you mean? What's this question that he's asking on Halachtem? What do you mean? And he answers, Levakish es asanos. So the Mishnah of Zahav answers Pashut. He says that the uncle was chayshid him that maybe he went to other places. So maybe he didn't just do his shlichus that he was doing. So he said, where did you really do? Is this really what you want to do? So his answer was, no, it was Levakish Asanos. That was the only thing that we did. We had nothing else that we were focused on. So that's how some explain the dialogue over there, because otherwise this makes sense. Pasuk Tesvav, Vayomer Dod Shaul. And then, for some reason, Shaul just stops speaking. He answers just the question he's asked. And then the uncle asks him another question. Hagidin Ali Ma'ar Melechem Shmuel. Please. Please tell me what did Shmuel say? I mean, Shmuel is a tzaddik, was a Navi. People are interested in hearing what he had to say. So what was it that he said? Vayomer Shaul, this is an amazing pasuk. Shaul said El Dodot, his uncle, Hagin Higidlanu, he told us, Kinimsu Asanos, that the donkeys were found. We asked him where they were, and said, oh, don't worry, they're already found. Period. End of story. So what's the chiddush over here? The next part of the pasuk says, "This devar hamalucha lo higid lo asher amar Shmuel." Shaul only answered the question he was asked, nothing more. He said, "Oh, he told us where the donkeys were." But the reality is, Shmuel also said something else. He made me a king. It's pretty amazing that Shaul, who just was anointed as a melech, doesn't even tell his own uncle. You would think. Most people, you get a promotion, the first thing you do is you call every single relative, you email people, you brag a little bit. So being a melech is not something which happens to everyone every day. He's the first melech of Klal Yisrael. But he was such a tremendous anav that he did not even want to divulge such information. And that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, for sure, this is the pshat. Rashi, Pasuk Tezayin, Vestavar Amulchalu Higid, Derech Snius Hoysavo. So he was Snius. Right, the question is, it's interesting, because Snius we think is, you dress this, the cover the elbows, you cover the knees, you cover this. Snius apparently is more than just modesty as far as clothing. It's modesty. Shaul also embodies Anivas, which we're going to see. But for some reason, Rashi gravitates toward the word Snius. We'll see why in a second. If we look in the Radak almost says the same shot. The Radak says, Lo higid lo, ulai mitoch Snius shahoisabo. Perhaps it was because of Snius. Well, what do you mean? What else could it be? So maybe you can say Anivas, assuming that they're two separate things. But the Mefarshim deal with this word ulai. So what's pshat in this ulai? So it's brought down in Chazal like this. It's brought down actually in the Gemara in Megillah, in the first parak. It says like this: B'schar snius shehoisabav b'rachel zoch sabiyotin min shol. So Shol came from Sheva Binyamin. So makes sense. Rachel had Binyamin, her second kid. So Rachel was snius when it came to the giving over the simonim to Leah. So that was a sign of modesty. That was a sign of snius. So therefore, because of that, it was in his genes, in his DNA, to also have that same attribute. Continues the Gemara, v'schar snius shahoisba b'sha'ol zosav yatsa minu Esther. That Esther also embodied a level of snius, which we'll talk about in a second. But then the Mishnah Tosahav says that this is the Poshita Kesher between Snius and Malchus. Why? Why does a Melech need to have a level of Snius? And he says, because even though a king, you can think you're a big tzaddik and you're powerful, a Melech, he says it like this, V'yeshul kochos p'nimim l'atzor b'kirbo es milah shelo. You have to have an inner strength to be able to overpower any of these all of this kavod that's being thrown at you. For who mi sheishlo hamalucha al atzmo l'kach yochel yoslo gam malucha al acherim. Interesting, Washington says that you could be a melech over yourself. That's a prerequisite to be a melech over others. To be able to have complete self-control is a prerequisite to having control over others. So clearly Shaul had that ability to bite his tongue and not to speak, not to brag, and therefore he was zocha to be melech. So it's brought down furthermore in the Medrash, in the Yalkut, he says like this, Rachel tasa placha shtika. So the level of snias, the way it's translated here, is that there's silence, that you don't always speak up. That's a form of immodesty. Immodesty is not just the clothes you wear, it's the way you act. You scream out, you try to show off. You're not a modest person. You're immodest in your words. So Rachel was snius in the fact that she silenced herself in the event with Leah. So Binyamin also had the ability to speak up, just like Rachel could have spoken up and said, no, I'm not giving you the simonim, I'm going to embarrass Leah. Binyamin could have spoke up when it came to the Mechira Yosef. Yodeb Mechirasa Shal Yosef Ve'enu Magin. He knew the whole episode of what happened to his brother Yosef, but he also didn't speak up. Shaul had the ability to speak up to his uncle and to brag, but he also didn't speak up. And of course, Esther Malka, Pasuk says Beferish, that Esther ain't Esther Magedes, right? She didn't speak up. So all of these things are all connected to Shevet Binyamin, that they have the ability to not brag and not to speak up when they feel it's not necessary. So he says like this, so Rashi holds, for sure it was Derech Snius. The Radak throws in the word Ulai Derech Snius. Why Ulai? He says, Efsher Shemachmas Kavod Dodo Lo Higid. Maybe the reason why he didn't speak up is not because of Snius, but because of the honor of his uncle. His uncle is, okay, I'm a king, But he's my uncle. I have to show respect for my uncle. So therefore, it may not be because of... Maybe that's why the Radak says ulai. It may not be a sneeze issue. It may be a kavod issue. I don't want to speak that I'm better than everyone else. Better than you, my uncle, is a lack of respect. So that's how the Mishmut of Zahav interprets why the Radak is a little bit more sensitive in the reading and says ulai mitoch sneeze shayisabo. Okay. Either way. So that's... That was Pasuk Tes Zion. We're now up to Pasuk Yud Zion. Thank you so much for coming this evening. We're
it's an
up.
Honor for me.
What?
I said it's an honor for me.
Good. In that case, I will not scream. Pasuk Yud Zion. Vayatzeik Shmuel es ha'am el Hashem ha'mitzvah. So Shmuel, Vayatzeik, should really mean to scream. Tzaka. Right? We scream out. We cry out. But if you look in the English... You don't have to look in the issue. We'll look in the Mesudas Sion. Mesudas Sion says, Vayatzeik is ini nasifa. It's gathering. So what's pshat? Why do you use the language Vayatzeik, Shmuel, that Shmuel gathered up the nation in this place at mitzvah? Why does it use the lashon of Vayatzeik of screaming? Says Mesudas Sion, this is before microphones and bullhorns. Ini nasifa, al ki ba'a b'tzakas ha'ma'asim. How are you going to gather people together? Maybe you blow some trumpets or whatever. How are you able to effectively get people's attention? You gotta scream, you gotta raise your voice. So this is the way it was done. To be able to address mass audiences, it's necessary for one to be able to raise their voice. Now, of course, in the days of the Nesi'im, like in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, he had Chutzpah Haturgamon. Chutzpah Haturgamon, which we read about, that his tongue was cut out as a form of a lack of, you know, obviously complete anti-Semitism. He was killed. But Chutzpah Haturgamon was told the words of what was being learned by the Nasi, and then he would scream it out. That was his purpose. He was like a human microphone. He was obviously had a very powerful voice. So Vayatzeik Shmuel, that's the... That's what I was just want to focus on that pasuk. Vayatzeik Shmuel. So what did Shmuel say? Pasuk Yudchas v'yomer el bnei Yisrael, komar Hashem elokei Yisrael, anoichi haleisi es Yisrael mimitzrayim. So this is what Hashem is instructing Shmuel, the Navi, to inform all of Israel, that as we hear all the time and throughout all Nach, Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. V'atzil eschem yad Mitzrayim, you saved you from the Egyptians. V'miyad kol hamlochis haluchatzim eschem, and from all the different kingdoms that oppressed you. So, without Kodesh Baruch Hu's help, you would be a lost cause. And for some reason, now you're not focused on Hashem, you're focused on wanting a melech. V'atem hayom astem es elokeichem. You should know that today, in the time that you wanted a king, you really angered Hashem, and you discussed the Kodesh Baruch, Hashem who Moshiach Elohim mikol ro'oseichem, v'soroseichem, that Hashem has saved you, has been your salvation from all your troubles, all your misfortunes and mishaps. The Tomru lo, and you said, ki melech tasim aleinu. And I love the translation over here for ki melech tasim aleinu. Ki melech tasim aleinu means I want a king. But they throw in over here in the English, only place a king over us. Which sounds like to the exclusion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which the pshat, as we said before, about wanting a melech, there's nothing wrong with wanting a melech, but the words of kechol goyim. The goyim, the nations of the world, are content having a king to the exclusion of God. And that was the ikar pshat over here of what was the terrible thing that we did of asking for a king, is because a Kodesh Baruch Hu is our melech. So there's nothing wrong with having a melech. In fact, the Torah talks about having a melech. But there's so many halachos governing a melech to make sure that he recognizes a Kodesh Baruch Hu more than anyone else. Having to hold a Sefer Torah. He has all these different halachos. He has certain restrictions that he's not allowed to have too many wives, horses, money. Because he's not allowed to, he has to ground himself that he's a human being. He's not God. And this was the mistake. The term of ki melech tosim aleinu. You only want a king, not God. Now stand before Hashem, according to your tribes, L'alfeichem, and according to your thousands. So again, this is the tremendous chisaron that the Klai Yisrael had at this moment, wanting a melech. Posachov. V'yakrim Shmuel is called Shifte Yisrael, so he gathered up. Shmuel did all of the tribes. V'yilakev Shevet Binyamin. V'yilakev is an unusual language, but it's referring to as the Mesudas David brings down every year. The Mesudas David says, V'yilakev, it's Ratzel Lomer, Ol HaGorel Livnei Binyamin. So they had a lottery system. So even though, technically speaking, Shmuel was already anointed Shaul, so he can just say, okay guys, you wanted a king? Here he is. He goes above and beyond that, and he goes through a lottery system, which of course is not random in this situation. But nonetheless, this was the method that was used. Okay, so he does this, but you locate Sheva Binyamin, in order to and it turned out the lottery fell out that the melech will be from Shevet Binyamin, which is unbelievable. Of course, you can imagine everyone would be shocked because everyone would have thought that it should have come from Shevet Yehuda. But instead, this lottery system came from Shevet Binyamin, which may be another reason why he was forced to have to do it this way, because otherwise if Shmuel would say, oh, by the way, it's this guy over here, Shaul, people would say, what do you mean? He's not from Shevet Yehuda. He shouldn't be melech. Which, by the way, there's no question that this pasuk is connected to the previous pasuk about how you've angered a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It makes sense that the Shevet, which is connected to Hashem being angry, is not the correct Shevet for Malchus. There's no coincidence that it was specifically done this way, that it could not possibly have been Shevet. You're back? Welcome back. Oh, we're going to see that. We're going to see that.
But it's from upstairs.
Correct. That happens afterwards. But at least at this moment, Shevet Binyamin, it's unusual. But that's good for the reason why that they had to do the lottery. And it's also proof. Would you like a text?
You're starting now?
Well, I started at
7:14, no?
Yes, we started at 7:05. We started 40 minutes before. Anyway, but that makes sense that Shaul comes from Shevet Binyamin, which is not the correct Shevet. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, page 64. Vayakrives Shevet Binyamin l'mishpachotav, v'yilokeid mishpachas hamatri. So again, they're narrowing it down. They came, all the tribe of Binyamin were put in this little hat, this little system over here, which Rashi brings down, the top Rashi, if you didn't see. But nonetheless, it came out to Mishpacha and Hamatri, which of course Shaul descends from. V'yilokeid Shaul ben Kish, v'yivakshuhu v'lo nimsa. Unbelievable that they ended up finally doing another lottery system, page 64. And it turned out the name that came out of this lottery, like winning the Powerball, is Shaul. And of course, when it comes to a lottery, let's say you have a shul raffle, it's you hope that the person that wins is present, or else it loses a lot of the excitement. It becomes a little anticlimactic that the person is named, and they have to give them a call, and maybe they won't find out about it, maybe they went home already. That's what happened. He wasn't anywhere to be found. And the question is, why not? Why wasn't he there? You would have thought, after all, the Pasuk says, on Pasuk Chav, it says, V'yakrev Shmuel as Kol Shifte Yisrael. He gathered up everyone. So strange that for some reason Shaul was missing. He was nowhere to be found. So let's just see this next pasuk, which we'll explain a little bit, and we'll see Rashi afterwards. Yishalu od b'Hashem. So then they further asked Hashem, as you pointed out, which we'll see eventually in Rashi, is referring to the Urim V'Tumim. Haba od halom ish. Is this man, is he present? Is he here? The Yomer Hashem, and Hashem responded through the means of the Urim V'Tumim, Hinehu Nechba El HaKelim. He is somewhere around, but he's not in this huge ballroom, he's not in the banquet hall, wherever this is, outside in the field, let's say. Instead, he's Nechba El HaKelim. He's hiding among the vessels, which means he's in the coat room, hiding behind all the kapatas and the bekishes. He's hiding over there. So the question is, what is he doing? What is he doing hiding? Kaylee could refer to more than just a cup. It could mean all different types of things. It's more of a generic word. But it's referring to, as we'll see, in Rashi, more specifically, what's going on. So let's see Rashi, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Bless you. Nechwa Elokeinu. So see this Rashi, Pasuk Chaf Beis? So, where was Shaul? V'bayis shenosnu sham haboyin kilein. The place in which people coming there will put their things. Once again, their coat room. They walk into this area and they put all their stuff there. So what on earth is he doing there? Why is he hiding? It's very strange. He's playing hide and seek. This is a man who was just appointed as Melech. So Rashi says, amazingly, Shehoya Boreach min HaGedula, that he was hiding from greatness. He wasn't interested in accepting this position. Now this is already him being anointed, but now the reality is really setting in. And he realizes that he is the Melech. And after all, he was just had his lottery system verifying that in fact he's Melech. So he's Boreach min HaGedula. This is something which is not something he was really seeking. Continues Rashi, which is the pshat you said. What does it mean, Vel Kalim? It doesn't mean the Kalim meaning coats. It means Ba'orim Batumim. What does it mean, Orim Batumim? So they asked Orim Batumim, Amar, Shema, any royal gedula, maybe I'm not fit for greatness. Achi Shoba Orim Batumim, Yeshoba Olubiyada. And so they asked Orim Batumim, and of course, also it turned out, as the Pasuk says, to be that way, that it was in fact Shaul. And the Horshim, of course, asks the question that, in fact, already a Navi is telling you this. So what's the need of the Urim Batumim, right? A Navi is already verifying this. So again, this could be, bless you, another means for them to be able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskin to this whole situation. Because Hashem does not want a Melech in which you're going to be excluding Melech Malchei Melochim, Hashem. So therefore, maybe you would think that this is really not with Hashem's blessings. And therefore, for this reason, they also consulted, bless you, the Urim Batumim as well. So it's brought down over here in the Mishpat of Zahav. The Orchos Tzadikim tells us, and I quote, Sarach Adam is Bayish Mikol Adam. A person needs to show a little bit of busha, of humiliation, or to lower themselves. Losum upon a masa habusha, to actually cloak oneself with a mask of busha, that we shouldn't walk around as Bali Gaiva. Kamosha ata yodata be'inyan shol, as we find by Shol who was hiding, as the Pasuk said, that he was hiding among the garments. And therefore, the Orchas Tzadikim in the Shar Habusha discusses and quotes this story about how we're supposed to emulate this level of busha, that we're never supposed to just become Bali Gaiva. Furthermore, it's brought down in the Gemara Menachos on Kuf Tesam and Beis. I'm going to share with you this interesting Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua ben Parchia says as follows, B'tchila, in the beginning, and this is really referring to Shaul, we see a complete 180 of Shaul. How do we see this? Initially, Kol Omer Li, Ol Shrara, Ani Kavta V'Nosl Lithne'ari. Anyone who says, I want you to become a great leader, a powerful person, I would say that you should be given over to the lions. I don't want such a position of power. How could you say such a thing? Why would you push greatness upon me? The stresses of leadership. Atah, but now, Kol Omer Li, Shiarin Liarin Mimena, anyone who, now that I am on this position of leadership, and this is a mushal to Shaul, now that I'm on this level, anyone who says to me, Liarin Mimena, to go down from this position, to descend from it, Ani matol of kumkum shulcham. I will take some nice hot water and I will give you a nice little hot bath. Shari shol barech mimena. Shol ran from it. Shol vikish lahargas David. And then when it came to him being a king, and David came around, he was so concerned of the possibility of losing his malchus that he was willing to run all over the place to try to kill David. So it's brought down in the Sefer Shaul B'chir Hashem, Rav Shmuel Baruch. He says, he asks the question, how is it possible that a person like Shaul, who is on such a madrega at this point, who is such an anav, sneez, not willing to accept a position of gedula so much that he's hiding in a coat room. How come, once he's given this position, what's the reason for this? How does it? Why does it work that way? She says it makes sense because initially he didn't want the position. He explains because he didn't feel that he was necessarily fit for that position. But now that the Navi Shmuel verifies that he should be the king, and you have the Urim Tumim, and now you have a lottery system, you have everything pointing direction saying that I'm a melech, so who is this David character to come by and to try to take away my melucha, to take away this position of power, when I know that I should remain the king, and my children should remain the king, because it's not just I was randomly selected for this position, I was clearly in a position that Hashem wants me to be in, and therefore that was the aim. Which is referring to whom?
To any king.
Correct. But we see that this individual was not just appointed by people. This was appointed by a Navi. He was appointed by Hashem through the Urim and Tumim, through a lottery system. So more than just appointing a king in this situation, everything is pointed in the direction of I must remain king. My children must take over the position of power after me. So David, I don't care what David says. I don't care what David thinks. I don't care what anyone else thinks. So that's how he's masmer, how on one hand he didn't want to accept it, but once he was given this position, there's no way he was going to relinquish his get rid of his power. We're going to touch upon that at the end of this parak, which we're going to end up seeing, that his anivus, being humble, is actually his downfall. We're going to see that at the very end of this parak, which we will not be able to conclude. But let's see if we can tackle. Let's see one more pasuk. Pasuk of Dal. We still have a couple more minutes. So this is what Shaul was doing. The arutzu v'yikachuhu misham. So they went and they grabbed him from there. Yisyas b'tocha am. They stood him up in front of everyone else. V'yigma mikol am. And he was above all the other people, heads and shoulders above them. We said it doesn't necessarily mean only in physical stature, but also in spiritually. Ruchnis. He was obviously someone who was on a tremendous madrega, which of course, knowing all this history up until this point, we'll understand a little bit more about Shaul's running after David. But again, at least one shot we can walk away with, that he really felt that he could not ever be taken away, this position of being a melech. The Omrish, so fine, that was Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayomer Shmuel El Kol Ha'am, Harisim Hashem B'char Lo Hashem, you see that this man was appointed, Ki'in Kamahu B'chol Ha'am. There's no one like him throughout the entire nation, and it's just Kedai that he mentioned this El Kol Ha'am. So, if there's anyone that disagrees with this, can you please stand up and disagree? No one spoke up. Obviously, it was true. He, 100%, was the greatest person that he ain't kamohu b'chol ha'am. But yariyu kol ha'am, v'yomer yechi ha'melech. And they concluded by acknowledging that he would, in fact, be the king by saying the words, yechi ha'melech, in which the Radak brings down the Targum, Yonasan of Yatzlach Malka, that this Malchus should be with success, which is the expression of Yechimel, yes?
Isn't that like long live the king?
Something like that, yeah. That's that same idea, right. So, and the Targum translates it as Yaslach Malka, that he should be successful, okay. And we'll see in the next three psukim, which we are not going to be able to see because we're going to stop for Mincha now, that not everyone agreed to this, and because not everyone agreed to it, he just went home and says, okay, I'm not interested. But that showed it was a mistake, a chisaron, because as you mentioned, when it comes to a melech, he has not ought to be mochel on his kavod. And we're going to see in this last pasuk that he was mochel on his kavod, which in itself is potentially one of his flaws. That a person can be an anav, but not to the detriment of ruling over the rest of Klal Yisrael.